Dalet Teva Siman Lamed Dalet Halacha Yud Dalet, and we're going till we're starting Hichas Chala today, Siman Lamed Hey, and we're going till Halacha Zayin. Here we go. Finishing up first Hichas Tzedakah. So the Kitzel teaches us, B'yoysel, it's the most important, we mentioned this already, that Tamidei Chachamim, to take concern of Tamidei Chachamim that are not making it, not don't have enough money, and to give them a coin to their honor, and if they don't want to receive it, to do business, give them a business, a small percentage, schoira, merchandise, so this way they can make money and be able to continue learning. Chazal say an amazing statement. Chazal say, kol amatim melay letamid chacham. So if a person is giving merchandise, giving a person a Talmud Chacham, Parnasa, is Zoych of Yeshiva Yeshiva Shamala. I can't get it. Doesn't sound better than that. You can end up sitting in Yeshiva Shamala, probably because now you have a Schus HaTor. Chazal saying, Basachas Brachos, Kala Nevim, Lo Nisnam, Lo Lo Yisapak, Matya Le Talmud Chacham. That means the entire prophecy of all the good that we're going to have is what? Is someone who is doing business for Talmud Chacham and marrying his daughter to Talmud Chacham. Obviously, we mentioned this, that this is your connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, Talmud Chacham is koydim, by the way, according to the Piskei Chus, he quotes from the Shulchan Aruch, that Talmud Chacham is koydim lechol ha'aniyim b'mitzvah tzedakah v'chol ha'gadol v'chol ha'gadol, the greater Talmud Chacham is, the greater it is, and his father, even if he's not a Talmud Chacham, still comes for Talmud Chacham, although there's those that argue that's a shach. Next, a person should distance himself from taking tzedakah as much as possible. It's not something that the person should try to take, and he should do, even if it's going to mean that he's going to suffer a little bit and won't be so gishmak with food, etc., still it's better. Chazal say an amazing statement. That says Shabbos Chachol, that means even if you make your Shabbos not a Shabbos, take a Shabbos, you have peanut butter and jelly, technically speaking, that's still better. If a person was a Chacham, and he was an honorable person, and became impoverished, he doesn't have money, still, he shouldn't be embarrassed. He asked boom, just to take a business, take a job, even if it's a little bit embarrassing, rather than to come on to people. Now, as we know, there's exceptions, especially with Talmud Chacham, is someone that is paskening and is teaching, etc. So you have to take care and make sure that he's okay, like we mentioned before. Someone that doesn't need to take him tzedakah and he cheats cheats people, he's not cheating anyone. Chazal says a scary statement, he'll end up dying. He'll end up having what he was pretending to have. If a person pretends he has a limp, etc. It's a mission actually in Masech, as I think it's in Peah, or in Kilam, I forgot. But in any case, someone that's supposed to take and doesn't take, and he can't really survive. For example, someone that's sick, Balisum, and he's not taking because of Gaiva, that's considered spilling his own blood, and that's also not good. Unfortunately, that will also end up with chatoy mavoinus and doesn't gain him anything. So a person has to be real with himself. If you can handle it, great. Otherwise, especially if it's causing tzar to the rest of his family, he definitely should take tzedakah. Chazal said a maise, someone that needs to take, but again, like he's able to push himself. And the end is that he's going to end up giving other people. So it's definitely a great segula to try to strive for. Starting Hilchos Challah, so many practical halachas. The first halacha is that the Hafashas Challah is always on any dough that's made from the five grains, the famous five grains, wheat, barley, oats, spelt, and rye. Then, now what do? Before you separate the chal, koin the kitzur shachanoch, you make a bracha. Baruch atah Hashem, ken lecholom, shak deshem, tzitzur, tzivon, lafresh chal. I know that most ladies are thinking, wait a minute, we say lafresh chal mineisa. Number two, they first separate chal. I think a lot of people do that. A lot of ladies, because men usually don't do this. And even, of course, the same obligation, we'll see. But this is the kitzur. Kitzur says, first, you make the bracha, everything first, which is usually what you do by a mitzvah. Number two, you only say lafresh chal. If you say lafresh chal in Isa, the Taz says you have what to rely on, that's okay. But the preferred nusach is chal, and also it runs into problems if you're taking off matzah and other things, as we will discuss. How much do you take off? According to the Ashkenazim, I think the Sfaradim take less than the Kazais. The minig by Ashkenazim is to take a Kazais, but that's not really, it's not me'akev, you don't have to. The chatchil, that's a minig. And you take that kazais and you burn it. The meaning is to burn it in the oven where you're going to bake bread. However, you have to be careful. In those big ovens, it would burn it and nothing in it. It wouldn't affect the oven. Today, you put it in the oven, it could affect the oven and the halachic ramifications, because now it gives taste and that taste is not allowed to have any anos. So you have to wrap it up in the tin foil or something like that. Many women do is they burn it over the burner. That's the best thing. If it's difficult, it's not a problem also to discard it in a respectful manner. What is the obligation, meaning how much, when do you have to separate challah? Here's a big argument, and it narrows down to the machlokes Chazon Ish and Chaim Noe, meaning in regard to the shiurim of today. But it's based on, there's a measurement, it's called 5 revoim, which is like a 1 1/4 of kav. Now, the obligation comes out to, it's 43 1/5 eggs. It's based actually on the oima that was given to the man that was given to Klaus in the Midbar. The bottom line is it's an equal amount of volume of 43 1/5 eggs. And the calculation is, so it goes like this. When it comes to a chai, if you're going with a chai, no, which is really what most standard measurements today really are, and it seems that we pass in like a Chaim Noe more than a Chazon Ish, but this is one of the things you can't really decide. But the Chaim Noe basically says like this. This is a calculation based on, also if you look at the Star K, argues a little bit with the art scroll here, so if anyone could explain why, because really they're just measuring the same measurement. But it works like this. If it's above 2.6 already pounds, which is around 8 2/3 of a cup of flour, so then you are mafresh without a bracha. If you want to be mafresh with a bracha, then it's more than 3.6, and which is almost a full bag of flour. So then we say that you should separate with a bracha. The Maisa, like I said, according to many, they follow Chazon Ish and they won't separate with a bracha until about 4.9. Almost 5 pounds, which is, like I said, almost a full, that's a full bag of flour. The 3.6 is 12 1/4 cups. Okay, next. Matzahs that they bake on Pesach, it's very interesting. So you have to be mafish challah minisa. The problem is that this is where it becomes a very tricky halacha. So technically speaking, when you put anything that you bake together, even if after it's baked and you put it into a basket or into one utensil, it actually combines them. This is a very big shaila lagabe when it comes to hamantashen that you put together in a bag, and many of those hamantashen were never separated with challah. You'd have a shaila of challah. Even if you put it in the fridge together, it's a big question. There's another problem when it comes to matzahs, and this is a common shaila when it comes to women. They make these big dough. Let's say they want to do something, which is, of course, a big skula. It's good to discuss this point, the major skula. But, and it's based on a pasuk. It's almost the only few real skulas that there's a pasuk for, that you laniach b'achal v'secha, but to have blessing in the house. But when you do a big dough and with plans to divide it amongst many ladies, that cannot have a bracha. So that's why many don't make a bracha when it comes to hafrashas challah on matzahs. They take a matzah, they throw it into the oven, they don't make a bracha, and some do. And this is what to rely on. In any case, when you're combining the matzahs, you have to make sure that they're in the same vessel, in the same utensil. Usually they have in the box. You have to make sure that the full matzah is not sticking above the box. Okay, there's another interesting halacha. First of all, to combine into, and the utensil could also be done using, let's say, something to wrap, a piece of cloth that wraps around all the matzahs. Now, when it comes to yeast, really there's an interesting concept. We know the yeast is chametz. And it's the ultimate chametz in a way. And it's today with the equivalent of what's called sourdough. And it's a starter. It causes the, especially in the old days, they didn't have real regular yeast that we find that we buy in the market. So it was like a really a piece of fermented type of dough. So when you take that, then you put it into the other dough. So that's what causes the fermentation. So the question really is when a person takes that yeast and is using it now to start to ferment another piece of another yeast, meaning a regular dough, so the question is how to make sure that you're going to not have a problem with someone that already was separated from challah from. And now when you're going to separate from this, from the entire dough, you begin to be separating from someone that's not obligated anymore. So that's what the Kitzur teaches us, that yeast should be taken from the dough that you did not separate challah from yet. And therefore, there won't be any question about it. But when you're putting it into, let's say, borscht, which is a liquid, is something that's not going to be separating challah from. So then, of course, it should be something that already Truma's challah was taken off. After Pesach, also an interesting question that the Kitzur discusses, when you're buying yeast from a non-Jewish, you're also running into a big shaila, whether it's obligated or not. So you have to be careful that when you're going to use that in combination, meaning into your dough, you're going to separate a little bit more than the size of that starter. So this way you know that when you're separating, you're not separating the original dough from the goy, which is maybe not obligated anyway. So you know you're taking extra, and even though you usually use a kazayis, here you could rely on it. Another major shaila is when a person makes dough, but the intention is not to bake it, either to fry it or to cook it. So the halacha is you separate challah, but without a bracha. If you're planning on baking a dough, but that's good enough. So these are the major questions when you're making dough in order for the purpose of that, making noodles and everything else that not necessarily going to bake. Another major question is when you're kneading dough with liquids. So liquids, i.e. eggs, or other types of fruit juices, there's major sfeikas, there are doubts, and therefore, there's two problems. Number one, there may not be mekabel tumah, so when you're separating the dough, you can run into a problem that it's not tumah, you can't burn it. Number two, it might not be obligated at all in the chiyuv of challah at all. So the classical or best way is to use water or even the other liquids. It's based on actually liquids that yad shachatan that create tumah, that's water, milk, honey, wine, or olive oil. So then what you do is if you add a little bit of water, it takes care of both problems, and then you're going to be mafish challah even with a bracha. And interesting that if you didn't do that, so there's actually an eitzah to give the dough that you separate it to a kohen who is less than 9 years old. Have a beautiful day.